Hey, this is Russell Wilson.
This is Joe Montana.
This is Dak Prescott.
Hey, this is Jason Kelce, and you're listening to Rob Motti.
Rob Motti.
Rob Motti.
Rob Motti.
Welcome to the all-new AP Pro Football Podcast on YouTube. I'm AP lead NFL writer Rob Motti. Training camp is underway. Hall of Fame game is coming up soon. But the topic that has dominated headlines is paying running backs what they're worth, and our special guest knows a whole lot about that topic. Le'Veon Bell was one of the NFL's best running backs over the past decade. He's a two-time All-Pro, three-time Pro Bowler. Le'Veon, great to have you on, man.
Thanks for having me, brother.
You saw what happened with Saquon Barkley, with Josh Jacobs, with Tony Pollard. They got the franchise tag at $10.1 million. Now, they didn't get their long-term deals, Le'Veon. You went through this in 17. You went through this, sat out the 2018 season. How do you feel now about the value that the NFL teams are putting on running backs?
You know, honestly, this is like something I was even like trying to fight for back in my time. Like you said, in 2017, the running back value, the way the league kind of values the running back position, I don't think is fair. Just because, for the simple fact, for one, on average, running backs don't have the longest careers on average. So I feel like for the times they are even able to play at the high level, they should be compensated for that. So, you know, guys, let's use like Zeke or like me, let's use me for example, right? Like my first 5 years, people will say like, oh, it's wonderful 5 years. And, you know, running backs usually have like a 5-7 year span if they have great years. I think when it's time for running backs to actually, you know, they play a rookie contract out, it takes about 5 years usually for a first round guy. It takes about 5 years to play your first part of your contract out, and then they're able to franchise tag you. So then it's like, okay, we ain't going to sign you for another 5 years, because usually running backs, they're going off of, I guess, statistically or like prior things, they don't play for 10 to 12 years. You know what I'm saying? You got some guys like Emmitt, you got some guys like AP who make it like that, but they're just going off of genuinely like, you know, the past and, you know, the percentage-wise, it shows that you won't make it that long. So I always feel like in the first 4 or 5 years when the running backs is coming into the league, they should get their bundle worth of money, because when they first coming in, especially like guys like me and Saquon and, you know, Josh Jacobs, when I was part of Steelers, I was making up 35% of the offense. You know, and making up 35% of the offense, that's running the ball in between the tackles, getting 25 to 30 carries a game. Not only that, I'm pass protecting. So the guy that you are paying a lot of money to, the quarterback guy, he's making $100 million. We got to protect him, because we can't let a safety or a linebacker hit him in the back of the head. And then not only that, we got to run routes out of the backfield. Not even out of the backfield, but sometimes you split me up. You actually got me outside in the slot or outside receiver to create a mismatch problem for whoever the defense may be presenting you. And as a running back, yes, that position is just so like devalued, because we do everything. We literally block. We're like an old lineman. We're like a receiver. And and there's plenty of times where running backs is even throwing the ball. But obviously, you ain't got to pay as a quarterback. But there's times when running backs even throwing the ball. So I just feel like in the first 4 or 5 years, guys should really be able to get compensated on what they need or what they deserve. Because if you have a good 4 or 5 years, they don't want to pay you off of what you actually done did. They're going to pay you off of what can you do in the next 4 or 5 years, you know? And I don't think that's fair, you know, as a running back. And, you know, see, I could be a little biased, but I just don't think it's fair that, you know, guys get paid, I guess, little in comparison to, like, money around the NFL. They get paid so little for all the dirty work and the grunt and the hits that they get. And then when they try to get paid or try to get compensated for it, they want to treat us like we're not worth it. You know what I'm saying? And in the grand scheme of things, they know the running back is obviously worth it. You know what I'm saying? And it's another thing, before you even start, this is another thing that the narrative people always say, okay, well, you take out this running back, you just plug in another one. But that's any position. That's literally any position. You have your special quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes, you got your like Lamar Jackson, or, you know, your Aaron Rodgers, those special quarterbacks, obviously, of course. But you also have those special running backs that you're not about to just better substitute. You're going to lose a little bit off on special running backs. Like myself, how I was myself, yes. And I'm not sitting here trying to say I was head and shoulders above any other running backs that played behind me, but every running back that played behind me can't do what I do. So, yeah, you might be able to supplement more runs and help that guy for his skill set, but my skill set was completely different than the guy that was behind me. So if you want to take out Saquon and just substitute another running back in there, yeah, you can do that. But is this running back going to present the same problems that Saquon did? Just like with the quarterback position. If Patrick Mahomes get hurt and you put in another quarterback, is that quarterback going to present the same problems that Patrick Mahomes did? No, he's not. That quarterback is going to turn around and hand that ball to the running back. That's what they're going to do. The backup quarterback comes in. Oh, shit. We're going to lean on our running game now. That's literally all it comes down to. And that'd be the crazy narrative. They'd be like, oh, yeah, if a running back get hurt, just substitute another one. Well, that other running back won't have to be good. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like even as a receiver, you take a receiver out of the game, you substitute another receiver in. Wherever receiver takes advantage of that opportunity is the guy who's going to make the name for himself. Mm-hmm. And you're in the NFL, everybody's good. Literally every person is good in the NFL. That's why you make it there. So just because you take a running back out, or you take a quarterback out, the guy that's behind them is going to be just a little, may not be that much, like, they, you know what I'm saying, a little bit behind. Ain't like the guy in front of him is head and shoulders better. It's just.
Right. When you have that when guy, you have a guy be, like Le'Veon, when you got a Saquon Barkley who's all world and Josh Jacobs as good as they are, it's hard to replace those guys. Then you have the teams like the Chiefs are winning with Patrick Mahomes is leading that offense, and they've been able
to bring in different guys.
Yeah.
Right. But, yeah. So that's what I'm trying to say is like each team got like they like recipe or like their player. You get what I'm trying to say? The Chiefs, obviously their player is Patrick Mahomes. Kelce falls under that umbrella because he's in the passing game. You know what I'm saying? But I feel like a couple years ago, like six, seven years ago, whatever it was, when Jamal Charles was the guy in the Chiefs, he was the guy. You know, Jamal Charles was the guy.
I can't even remember that quarterback that he played with. That's how
big of a part of the offense. That's why when he was saying Alex Smith, because like Alex Smith was the quarterback, but it's like Jamal Charles was the guy. You get what I'm trying to say?
But then you have the Chiefs go and win a Super Bowl, and they got Isaiah Pacheco, they got Damian Williams. So I understand where you're coming from. I understand where a lot of the running backs are coming from. Now, Saquon worked it out the best he could, right?
Right.
And he's in camp. Josh Jacobs hasn't shown up for camp yet, and eventually I'm sure he's going to sign. You ended up sitting out that whole season. Do you have any regrets about that? Do you have any advice for Josh on how he should handle it now that he's not in camp?
See, me personally, it depends on what you want. See, I already knew my mindset. I knew exactly what I wanted to do, like with my life in general. So it's like, if Josh Jacobs is worried about, like, if he's like, man, I want to make money from the NFL, I want to be in the NFL. I always knew, me personally, as being Le'Veon Bell, I always knew I had other talents. Like, I have other things that I'm good at other than just football. So I already know, like, okay, well, I could take this money from the NFL and I could go use it somewhere else and, you know what I'm saying, be great somewhere else. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I wasn't really that pressed about, oh, man, I need this X amount of dollars for me to play football. Because I always felt like, but if y'all want to, if I'm not happy, happy with myself and look in the mirror and be good with myself, then I couldn't go out there and play and I couldn't be my best self. You know what I'm saying? And the situation I was in with the Steelers, I felt so unhappy just because the way, like, it, at the time, it was like my teammates was like all in my locker. Like, the fans were like talking so bad about me. And it was all because I felt like I was trying to do what was good for me and my family. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't trying to step on nobody's toes or anything, but I was trying to do what was good for me and my family. And everybody was kind of like making me feel a certain way. So I wasn't happy to go back and play football. But if I'm Josh Jacobs and, you know, I haven't seen anything about his teammates or anything feeling bad about him, I low-key now, I think the narrative has changed. I think the narrative now is like people are like pushing for running backs to get their money. I feel like his teammates are low-key like, man, nah, we need Josh Jacobs to get his money. Like, we want Josh Jacobs to get his money. Even with Saquon, it's like low-key now, like the running backs and like the NFL, it's like everybody seeing like how they're treating the running backs. So like everybody kind of helping the running backs push a little bit. Versus when I was there, it was just me by myself. I was kind of the lone wolf, and I kind of took the brunt of it, which is fine. But I just kind of opened up everybody's eyes, letting everybody know the value of the position. And I think now that Saquon is up, he started to see, like, when it's time, he probably was thinking, oh, yeah, when it's my time to get paid, it's going to be easy. He probably was thought, like, oh, yeah, my time, I'm gone. They're going to pay me what I deserve. And Yeah, that's why I had to go through. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm thinking like, oh, yeah, we come here. This guy that made this, oh, for sure. There ain't going to be no problem. Y'all going to cut me this check. But now it's like, dog, you play running back. You did this. We gave you the ball 300 times, and you got hurt. So now we can't pay you that. But, yeah, I only got hurt because you gave me the ball 300 times. You was asking me to do all these other things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you touched on something I want to get into, because you got these running backs that you got feeling underpaid. You're feeling undervalued. You're feeling underappreciated, right? And you have a position group that has those feelings, right? Le'Veon, there's some anger, there's some bitterness, some resentment. How can that affect the locker room chemistry? Because that's important with a football team.
Hey, bro, yeah. The locker room chemistry definitely, because it affects it's like subconsciously affects it. Because it's not like Saquon is going against his teammates. Saquon loves his teammates. He loves being in the locker room, I'm sure. He don't want to leave the Giants. I can just tell by the interviews and by the way he's talking and stuff. I can tell he don't want to leave the Giants. But at the same time, he wants the respect. You know what I'm saying? He wants this respect. Like, damn, whoever the Giants GM or whoever the owner is, I don't know the names, but he's probably like, damn, sir, I done did this. I did this. I came back from my injury twice. You know what I'm saying? I came back with a switch quarterbacks in the position in a situation of us switching quarterbacks and like kind of changing our thing. I was the one holding it all together. You get what I'm saying? And everybody in the Giants and everybody in the stadium wearing 26 jerseys with Barkley on the back. I'm just asking for what's fair. You get what I'm saying? I just feel like, you know, if I'm saying Saquon, like I understand where he's coming from. You know what I'm saying? He signed the 1 year, $11 million. I signed, bro, this is in 2017, right? I got the franchise tag was 10.1 this year. My franchise tag was 14.5, and I walked away from it. I'm like, nope, I'm not playing on that because y'all have me playing the franchise tag for 12.1 a year before that because it's a respect thing. It's a respect thing. I did this for you. You told me you were going to do this for me, but you didn't. It's a respect thing. So it's like, for me, I feel like I just couldn't play for them because they wasn't respecting me. I didn't feel respected. And for me to work with you, I feel like we got to put some type of mutual respect. And for us to be a team, we got to respect each other. I could have just ignored it. I could have just ignored it, went in the locker room and just been playing whatever. But like that would have made me happy. And I'm sure inside the locker room, everybody would have felt it. And as a team, we wouldn't have been good. And I feel like the same with Saquon. I feel like he's just trying to be up and he's trying to be the best he can. But obviously, deep down, he's not happy because he wouldn't be compensated. He still wants his teammates to be good. So he showed up. Saquon is doing exactly what I did my first year of the franchise tag. He showed up. You see, he's already fed up. He's like, but I'm just doing it for my team, all right? Because my team want me. So I'm going to just do it for my team. He come, he signed a 1 year, $11 million, and hopes, I guarantee he's hoping they're going to get him right next year. I guarantee that's what he's thinking. I don't know how to talk to Saquon.
Yeah, he's got to be thinking that, and I don't know if that's going to happen there or somewhere else. Now,
I know it's not going to happen. I'm going to tell you right now it's not going to happen. I'm going to tell you it's not going to happen because
it ain't going to happen there probably. No.
It ain't gonna happen nowhere because all the owners are gonna all get together and be like, okay, y'all see, we ain't paying $11 million, and then that's what's gonna go around. It's gonna go around. So that's what it's gonna be like, all right, that's the top for the running backs. That's what's gonna happen. That's literally what happens. They all meet. All right, well, the running back are $11 million. Saquon, I get $11 million. Okay. And then really think about it. Let's just really think about it right now. Right now in today's NFL, is there a running back better than Saquon Barkley just strictly skill-wise? Just God-given ability. You got arguments. You can say Derrick Henry. You can say Nick Chubb. You got guys you can argue.
All around talent. He's top two, top three. Yeah, for sure.
Straight up. And we can't argue that. So now the NFL will be like, is there other guys in this NFL or in this league as good as him? No. So we're not going to pay him more. Let's be real.
I need you to help me clear something up because some guys have told me, like, They said, look at the money that Odell's getting. And these are running backs. They said, look at the money that Odell's getting after he was hurt. Look at Julio Jones got paid and he was hurt. And I always thought, like, you never talk about someone else's money. But now if running backs are talking to me about someone else's money, how does that play out when you start talking about someone else? Is that something that really still happens or you should never do it?
Okay, that was a written rule. I thought it was an unwritten rule when I was getting signed. When it was my turn and I was in the locker, I thought you weren't supposed to count people's money, but everybody was in my pockets worried about what I was making. Everybody was like, oh, when you turn down this, you're turning down that, or you making this, this, this. Everybody was in my pockets. So I thought But now, you see what I'm saying? How the narrative has changed a little bit. It's like, I thought you weren't supposed to do that. Yeah, you're not. You're not. Because at the end of the day, it's like, Saquon wants to be happy. You get what I'm saying? Everybody wants to do like what they feel they're valued at. You get what I'm saying?
You see Daniel Jones getting $40 million and your quarterback, mediocre, getting $40 million. I don't know how happy he can be.
Hold on. Say that. But hold on, how much Daniel Jones get paid? See, I don't even know how much he got paid.
Daniel Jones, Daniel Jones, who, like, to me, in my view, he's a mediocre quarterback. He's not top 10. He's not top 15. He's certainly not top 5, but he's getting $40 million a year. So when he's getting 40 and Saquon's getting 10, he's getting a quarter of what his quarterback is getting. And his quarterback isn't Patrick Mahomes or Justin Herbert or Jalen Hurts or Joe Burrow.
Daniel Jones, you're like, you're doing your sports broadcasting thing, so you can't say it, but I will. Daniel Jones is not, he's in the bottom tier. He's in the bottom tier of NFL quarterback. He's in the bottom tier. He's not mediocre. They're average quarterbacks. He's in the bottom tier. And I'm not here trying to talk bad about Daniel Jones. I'm just trying to be real for everybody who's hearing it. He's in the bottom tier. Saquon is in the top tier of his position, his running back. So how does that make sense? This is what everybody's saying. Well, he plays quarterback. Okay, you know what, Saquon? Just get under the fucking quarter, under the center. Take the snap, bro, and just run quarterback sneaks. Because that's what they're trying to say. Y'all just trying to say basically because he's taking the snap. That's it. He's running the ball too. Daniel Jones basically a runner. He ain't like he'd be throwing the ball for 400 yards or 500 yards like Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert and Ben Roethlisberger used to do or Aaron Rodgers. He ain't throwing it for 400, 500. He's running. He's basically a running back. Daniel Jones is basically a running back. He throws the ball every now and then. But, oh, yeah, Daniel Jones, since you take the snap.
You're not lying. You're not lying. Yeah. Listen, I want to get to another New York team because you played for the Jets after you left Pittsburgh, and they got a ton of – they had high expectations, right? When you went there, they have high expectations now with Aaron Rodgers. It's a different situation, different coaching staff, different people. Right. How would you advise Aaron Rodgers to handle New York because you went through that?
Oh, yeah, I think Aaron Rodgers can be good. I know Aaron Rodgers personally. I think he gonna be good out there. Like, he got weapons now. The Jets out there, they got some weapons. The new coach, the Jets look good. I feel like the Jets gonna have a good year, especially with Aaron Rodgers running it. I think it'll be a year. But like him, I think he gonna handle the media and everything well. I think he gonna be fine. Aaron Rodgers will be fine.
Now, you haven't officially retired, right? You're 31 years old. I know you got a lot that you're doing. I want to talk a little bit about that, boxing and OnlyFans and you're rapping too. What if a team called and has a team called? Like, have you left that door open?
I haven't. I'm not interested in playing unless, like, I'm playing. So, and honestly, I really only want to play with the Steelers. That's it. I'm not trying to – unless I'm – starting somewhere else, which I know that chance is like very slim, like less than like 1%. Unless I'm starting somewhere else, I'll come back to Steelers. That's it. I'll come back for Steelers and play with the Steelers. Just because I know I can still play. I know honestly what I can still do. You know what I'm saying? I feel like the only coach who would honestly give me an honest opinion about how I look would be Gosama. He know how I look when I first came into the league, and he can look at me now and be able to compare and contrast. And I'd be the only coach I would be able to trust to do that. I wouldn't want to play for nobody else. Not at this point. After everything I done went through in this league, nah, I'm cool. I would only want to do it with Tomlin. That's it.
I was in the building for your last touchdown. Do you remember that game? Do you have that ball? I think it might be pretty special considering who you caught it from.
My last touchdown from with who? Oh, Tom?
That was your last touchdown. Really? You didn't even think about that?
I actually do got the ball. I kept that ball. I showed up did.
Yeah, it was a 1 yard touchdown catch last game of the 2021 regular season. I think it was against Carolina, and that was
it was
your last touchdown. What made you transition to boxing, man?
Bro, honestly, so I was already training in boxing. I was using it for like extra cardio, like working out as football. So I started in like 2018, the year I took off. That's the year I kind of like I picked up boxing. I was like using it for extra cardio, gave me an extra shape, get a little more cut, lose a couple pounds over the course of training, bro. I fell in love with it, bro. I'm like, damn, like. So it was one day that guy was training me. He was like, man, let's move around a little bit. So he just like, you know, we just sparring, like real light sparring, whatever. And when we did that shit was so fun. It was like my first day of kind of like actually playing like how I felt about like contact football. It just brought like a rush to me. I'm like, damn, this is fun. So we started there, and then obviously over the course of weeks, we start putting the headgear on and putting the groin belts on, and we really start going at it. And then I start realizing, like, damn, I love this. I can actually be good in this. You know what I'm saying? Because I think football really helped me out in terms of my athletic ability being in the ring, because boxing is literally all about movement. It's about timing. It's about patience. And I think, bro, using it for football as an extra training, it made me fall in love with it. So now I do it like 4 or 5, 6 times a week.
I've done it as a workout, and I got and ended up got hit in the eye too much though, Le'Veon. So I got to learn how to protect a little bit, you know, better.
Hands up.
Get the hands up. Keep the hands up.
Keep the hands up.
Dropping.
It's like
you're
looking out bifocals. That's what I tell you. It's like you're looking out bifocals. Keep them hands up.
When's your single coming out? What's that going to sound like?
So my single's coming out July 28th, tomorrow. I don't know when it's going to air, but come on. July 28th, make it boom. It's going to be everywhere, all streaming platforms, Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube, Tidal Music, you name it, it's going to be there. This is like hands down my biggest single that I'm going to have, just for the simple fact I have so much time and preparation for it. And I get to show more of my creative side of my music. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like when I was playing football, I was a little hesitant to kind of show like my creative, artistic side of my music, just because I didn't want to get judged by football fans and make people think I'm not totally into football. But it's like now, it's been all music, and I really get to show how special I am in music. You know what I'm saying? I've been telling people I think I'm just as good in music as I am in football and boxing. It's just time gonna tell. You know what I'm saying? Right now, I'm just talking. When I was 6 years old and I told my auntie that I was going to the NFL and everybody was watching me and saying it, everybody was laughing like it was a big joke because I was a snaggletooth 6 year old saying I was going to the NFL. Ain't nobody believe it until they see me. You know what I'm saying? So that's how it is about me. It's like, hey, I'm telling everybody, hey, I'm just as good in music, I'm just as good in boxing as I am in football. Time will tell.
I'm gonna see if you're gonna be an all pro in the music industry. All right.
Hey, straight up.
last question for you, my man. Tell me about this relationship with OnlyFans. I'm sure it's got a lot to do with the music, with boxing and everything, how you can relate to fast. I saw you apologize, right, to Steelers fans. Right. And, you know, it seemed like it was pretty important for you to do that. So what's it like to be able to team up with OnlyFans?
It's amazing just because of the simple fact, my OnlyFans, it really gives me a chance to really be super intimate with my fans that like genuinely want to be involved with me. So the things that I don't really post like publicly, but I really never post public is like if I'm doing like what I actually do when I'm training for football, or like what I'm actually eating when I'm training for football, or a fight, or when I'm sparring, like any of my sparring sessions, I can post them to my OnlyFans because I'm not posting them to the public because I don't want necessarily the public to see. But my close, intimate fans, I want them to tap in with me and see exactly what I'm going through, exactly what I'm eating, how I'm able to lose this weight, 10 to 12 pounds in a week, or when I got a cut. So I feel like that's a good platform for me to be able to be intimate with my fans.
Well, I'm guessing that if I want to get some of them tips from your sparring sessions, I got to sign up for OnlyFans. That's the only way I'm going to see that. Like, I'm going to learn how to protect the eyes and everything else that way.
Subscribe.
I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much. Thank you. You have a blessed day, my man.
Yes, sir, you, man.
It was great to hear Le'Veon's perspective because he's been through this contract issue. He understands what these running backs are dealing with, but he doesn't see a solution, and neither do I. The CBA will not get redone for one position group. Running backs are going to have to live with this until the next deal, and then it's still going to be hard to please one position group. I'm sure the owners will continue to take a hardline stance. The interesting thing to watch throughout this season, and I touched on this with Le'Veon, if players are comfortable talking to me quietly about other players at different positions getting paid more, even though they get hurt, they're injury prone, how does that play out in the locker room? Bitterness, resentment, it doesn't make for great team chemistry. We'll see how it plays out over the course of this season. That's it for this week. Thank you to Le'Veon Bell, and thank you for watching the AP Pro Football Podcast on YouTube.